and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. With your hands lifted up all over this place, Heavenly Father, we've come from different works of life and upbringing. If we've ever needed you, it's now than ever before. As we stand on the threshold of history, as we see the unrest, the turmoil, the crisis, the trying times in the life of nation and humanity, we need to hear from you like never before. For it is written that whosoever shall hear the sound or the voice of the Son of God shall live. We need to hear your voice that we may live again. Speak therefore in a language that we understand, that we may live once again. Let chains be broken in the name of Jesus. Let yokes be broken. Let burdens be lifted. Let your word have a free course. Grant that your servant may speak with precision and with clarity of thought, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We command every adversary among your people to be arrested in the name of Jesus. We vanquish the power of the enemy among us. We mute the voice of the adversary. We discredit the voice of the accuser of your people. In the name of Jesus, we command deliverances of the captives. Command salvation for all. Now let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. In the name of he seated on the right hand of the Father, to ever make intercession, our soon coming King, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Please put your hands together and give God praise. Amen. For the past 2 months, we've been talking about signs of the end times, the coming of the Lord, the rapture, and we dealt with the 60 biblical prophecies fulfilled concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming, his birth, his nature, his earthly ministry, his death, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And we've talked about so many signs of the end times and the fact that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we did emphasize the fact that there shall come many false prophets, many false teachers, many false apostles, and many Christs. And we did establish also that everything that is wrong and anything that is evil in the end time will be in the increase. The fact that iniquity, lawlessness shall prevail in the end times, and that many shall go the wrong way and only few shall go the narrow way. And the fact that multitudes and majority take a particular stand does not mean that they are right. Because one of the deceptions of the end time is that the enemy will magnify everything that is wrong, everything that is right, and will cause truth to become wrong and wrong to become right. Is part of the signs of the end times. And therefore, let us not be moved and let us not be carried away with multitudes and with many taking a particular stand or living a particular lifestyle. That is no reason to believe that they are in the right because they are minority, they are majority. So we're watching all those signs of the end times. Today, we want to look at what happens to those who don't make the rapture. Those who don't make the rapture. It's scaring if you take your time to study and to look at what happens to those who don't make the rapture, those who don't make that flight. There is only one flight from time into eternity. There's only one flight. And those who will go, who miss that only flight, can only make it by becoming martyrs of Christ. You have to be beheaded to make that journey. And my assignment is to help you to avoid the great tribulation. Come with me, please, to 1 John 3:3. Repetition is necessary, is required, and is critical for illumination. What you keep hearing, you become. And so I'm going to keep emphasizing on these simple truths until the word becomes flesh in all of our lives. 1 John 3:3.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
It is critical that we live a sanctified life after we get born again. Sanctification is critical for every believer that wants to make the rapture. Ladies and gentlemen, John, the 17th chapter and the 19th verse.
And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth.
That sanctification is not necessary for those tempted or anybody struggling with sin, but sanctification is critical, necessary for every believer who looks forward to the coming of Messiah. For he that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So no impurity will make that flight. And Jesus was without sin. Jesus was without sin, tempted by, at every point that we are tempted, but yet he was without sin. And even though he was without sin, he still sanctified himself for the sake of those who hear him, that they also may be sanctified. And if Jesus, who is without sin, lived a life of sanctification and purity, then it's critical for you and I to even do more than he did. I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified. It's a daily walk and a lifestyle. John chapter 3 and verse 3.
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Now, I did establish last week that there is a difference between being born again to see the kingdom and being born of the spirit and of the water in order to enter the kingdom. The deception of the enemy in this end time is to get believers to believe that because I'm born again and my name is written in the Lamb's book of life and we are in the dispensation of grace, I can do anything, live anyway, anyhow, and still make it. It is not true. You can be born again, see the kingdom, and not enter the kingdom. Moses saw the promised land, but did not enter. And here was a man that spoke to God face to face, eyeball to eyeball, shoulder to shoulder, who had the audacity to write the first five books of the Old Testament. He wrote Genesis, and he spoke of mysteries and of things that was done long in eternity before he was born. He had the ability to write Genesis and reveal things that was done when he wasn't born and he wasn't there by the word of knowledge, and wrote about things in his time. He wrote Exodus in his time. He died after Exodus, and he still wrote events that were to come after Exodus. That was the word of wisdom. Yet he was the meekest man in all the earth, but he saw the land but did not enter. So there is a possibility that you can see and not enter. Seeing is different from entering. John chapter 3 and verse 5.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Those are two different things. Being born again to see the kingdom is different from being born of the Spirit. That means a spirit driven, a spirit controlled, a spirit influenced, and a spirit led life, a spirit filled life, that you are full of the Holy Ghost, not full with resentment, not full with bitterness, not full with anger, not filled with pride or arrogance, not filled with an attitude, not filled with grudges, but filled with the Holy Spirit. And washed by the washing of water by the word, allowing the word of God to be the determining factor of your attitude and your dealings with your fellow man. Having no rights of your own. Blessed are the poor in spirit, has nothing to do with poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit is very simple. Absolute dependence and reliance on God. Blessed are the poor in spirit is to pray and to fast. Is to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, our need and dependence on Elohim. Blessed are the poor in spirit simply means I am brilliant. I have intellectual capabilities or capacity. I've been to the best of school. I am the product of Yale or Harvard or Princeton or Cambridge or Oxford. I'm loaded. I have deep pocket. I'm a financial mogul. I'm a business tycoon and an oil shake and magnet. Yet, on daily basis, I look up to you and I depend on you. Please stop believing that poverty is the sign of spirituality and humility. It's a deception which we will address another time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 to 31.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
One of the signs of the end time, as I said last Sunday, will be people moving away from churches that preach sound doctrine to churches that preach what they want to hear. Churches that preach messages to make you happy, but messages that does not convict you. For one of the assignments of the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is to convict us of judgment, of righteousness, and of sin. And a time shall come, as scripture has declared, where the Holy Spirit will leave the sin, and nobody at that time can repent. For the door of salvation and grace shall come to an end, and the day of judgment shall be revealed to all men. And nobody can repent, because the Holy Spirit, whose assignment is to convict us of sin, judgment, or righteousness, would have left the scene. Go ahead.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Not forsaking. Many shall forsake the assembling of ourselves. They will live a life of their own. They will be masters of themselves, making laws and rules that works for them, and will literally go against scripture, and will ignore and despise the word of God and do as they please. And these are those days. Go ahead.
As the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a need of exalting one another. Everybody needs somebody. Irrespective of your background and your upbringing and who you are and your connection in society and who you know, please give me a break. Everything has an expiry date, whether it is power, whether it is political power, whether it's financial power, whether it's access, whatever it is, has an expiry date. So take it easy and stop believing that you are okay and you never need anybody. It's a lie. One day, you're going to need somebody. You know, a true story about a very rich man that lives in a beautiful place in a city. And not too far from him was a poor individual that lived there with his family, didn't have much to eat. And this rich man had everything. One time had a very eminent visitor that came to visit, and they had lunch and they needed salt. Common salt. And there was no salt in the house. And they had to send to the poor man for salt. And he didn't have money. He didn't have food. He didn't have a visitor. But he had Saul. You know, a time comes in the life of every man and every woman that you have need of what somebody has. God never gave it all to us. He always makes sure that you lack something so you can depend on him or have need of somebody. Put your hands together, somebody, and give God praise. Please go ahead.
For if we sin willfully,
it means that if we continue in sin, Romans 6:1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. What does it mean? It means that grace is the antidote to sin. But Paul said, should we continue to abuse? Should we continue to disrespect grace? Should we continue in sin? And I'm not talking about being tempted and falling and sinning, but I'm talking about a life, a continuous life of sinning to a point where you are not convicted anymore, where you don't care anymore, and you are born again, but you live in continuous sin. Listen to what the Bible says.
After that, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth.
The knowledge, there are different types and kinds of truth. And there is a truth that comes to you by illumination. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:17 and 18, he said that the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. There is something about being enlightened when it comes to the truth. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And I need you to be enlightened. See, I hear you. If you hear me, put your hands together. Let's go back to Hebrews. Okay, we're in Hebrews.
There remaineth no more sacrifice
there
for sin.
There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin when we continue to live in sin. And there is no more a sense of conviction that we don't care anymore. It becomes a lifestyle. There remaineth no more sacrifice. Proceed.
But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace.
Despising the Spirit of grace. Go ahead.
For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
You know, the Bible said if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. And that is what I'm attempting to do. That we judge ourselves now. Because if we judge ourselves here, we will not be judged there. Many years ago when I got born again, I went to talk to one of the men that trained me in prayer. And I was talking to him about some struggles. And he said to me, he said, always learn to confess your struggles to God. He said, never leave a day and never let the sun go down on any struggle. Confess it to God. Don't live with an unconfessed sin or struggle. And he said, if you do that here, when you get up there, they will not require it from you. And it went very deep inside of me. And when I was taken to heaven for about 45 minutes, he was the same man I met in heaven. When the angel said, do you know anybody here? And I said, yes, Elder Saki. And he showed up and he talked to me before I came back into my body. If we judge ourselves here, on that day, we will not be judged. That means it will not be required of us. But there are things we need to settle whilst we are here and whilst we are alive. See, I hear you. Go ahead. We finished 31. Okay, let's move on quickly to Revelation 27. Today, one of the things we want to do that we don't do anymore in church is to read. Tell somebody, read. We don't read our Bibles anymore. Please lift up your Bible if you have a Bible, not your cell phones and not your iPad. Your Bible. the old rugged cross. Lift it up, please. Thank you for all of you who still hold on to the old rugged cross. You are a new believer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Revelation 21, 27.
And there shall be in no wise, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth.
Now look at the things. Look at what can stop us, you and I, from entering into the gate, into that holy city. There are some things, if it's not dealt with, we can see the kingdom and not enter the kingdom. Right.
Neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Keep that in mind. I will not emphasize, because Wednesday we have Bible study. So at Bible study, we will break the word and help you to appreciate and understand, and you can ask questions. Revelation 22, 13 to 15.
I am Alpha and Omega.
God is defining himself. He said, you don't know who I am. Let me define myself. Let me announce to you who I am and my credential. I am Alpha. I was long in eternity before time came. I am the beginning and I'm the end. The beginning and the end is in me, and it's me. I have no beginning. I have no end. Come on, put your hands together for the beginning and the end. Go ahead.
The first and the last.
Uh-huh.
Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers.
These are things that will not enter.
Go ahead. And whoremongers.
And that word dogs here, whoremonger, stands for immorality of the highest order. And I told you, I was in America when I preached for a bishop, friend of mine, and he brought a lady and a husband to me to pray for the lady's deliverance. And she was addicted to sleeping with dogs. And I was in Italy. Was it in Brescia? Yeah, in Brescia with Bishop Obudai. And after the service, a young lady came to see me who was addicted to sleeping with dogs, and she wanted deliverance. So I handed her over to Bishop Obudai to pray and to deliver her. Then I went to London to preach in a very huge, big church. They come on TBN and all that. And I won't mention the name of the church because we are online. And after the service, a lady came to see me. She had a problem. Addicted to sleeping with dogs. And I handed her over to Bishop Obudai. I said, Bishop, it looks like you have a successful ministry in casting out these spirits. So handle it for me. Hallelujah. Thank God for Bishop Obudai. Put your hands together. All right, let's finish.
And sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters.
You know, sorcerers, witches in the church. If you are a witch, renounce that thing. Break the pot. Confess it. Because you will not enter. It's simple as that. You can destroy all that you wish to destroy. You will not enter. And you will see your portion. So if you know you are a witch and you fly in the night, and you drink people's blood, you won't enter. Go ahead.
And idolaters,
mm-hmm.
and murderers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie.
Whosoever maketh a lie. That are born again Christians, you lie. You're a liar. You know you are lying and you still lie. And you lie with passion and conviction, and lie with audacity under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, hey! I was telling one of my young pastors, he receives calls from so many people, then he will tell them, I'll call you back. And I said, you are a liar. You know you are not going to call them back. And you are telling them you call them back. Why don't you tell them to call you back so it's on them? And stop lying. So many of us, we don't return people's call. We lie. Somebody call you, you won't return their call. And even when they confront you, say, oh, I never saw the call, and yet the call came through. Now, I also know that there are technical demons and cell phone demons who interrupt your calls. Because I'll be holding my phone and somebody will be calling me in the same compound. And then they will say, oh, his line is busy, he's not reachable, he switched off his phone, and it's a lie. That one, you are not responsible for that lie. It's the phone that is responsible. But we have to stop lying and begin to speak the truth. Revelation 3:5.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment.
There are things to overcome. Christianity and going to heaven after you get born again is not automatic. For let every man so work out their own salvation with fear and with trembling. So there is work to do. There is the working of our own salvation. We have taken too many things for granted, where just because we are born again, we believe that everything goes. Everything don't go. There are rules. Now, I know we live in dispensation of grace, but yet you can despise the grace of God when you tempt God and dare God. When you continue in an act you know is not right, and you keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, you are tempting God. Turn to somebody and say, don't tempt God. Whoa! Hallelujah. Revelation 3:5, go ahead.
And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life.
Again, I will what?
I will not blot out his name out of the book of life.
You know what that means? It means that your name can be blotted out of the book of life. Jesus has the discretion to do that. He has the discretion. He's the Alpha and Omega. And you know something? I don't care what these false teachers are preaching. I go on authority of scripture that Jesus said, if you don't overcome the things that will prevent you from entering, your name can be blotted out of the book of life. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. So stop looking at me with that kind of look. You know, we've come to a place where we have become so familiar with God that there is no fear of God anymore. People can interpret scriptures any way, anyhow. Listen, it is what it is. It is what it is. Jesus said, he that overcometh, I will not blot your name out of the book of life. That stands to reason as a logician that there is a possibility your name can be blotted out. Please receive that. It will help you to live a life that is required of you in order for you to make that flight. Instead of living a loose life and saying that once saved, forever saved, don't be fooled. Put your hands together and give God praise.
But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
He said, I will confess his name before my Father and his angel. It means he can choose not to confess your name. It's within his discretion. And that is what makes God God. And that is what makes you and I human and flesh and blood. So take it easy. I know you are loaded. You are gifted. You are very anointed. And when you shake your hands, people fall all over the place. Please be careful. Be very careful. I said to the media people, I said, I don't want when people fall under power and they are manifesting to cover it with a camera. And I don't want you to put those things on television to show people how powerful we are and how people get delivered under the sound of our voice and how demons are manifesting to show, to advertise how powerful we are. We are not any powerful. Listen to what the Bible says. He says, and in that day, I will say unto many, I know you not. And they will say, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not heal the sick in your name? And did we not cast out devils in your name? And did we not perform wondrous things in your name? And he will say, I never knew you. You were iniquity. Get thee away from me. What does that mean? It means that you can prophesy not in your name, but in the name of Jesus. You can receive an infusion. You can receive the audacity to prophesy in the name of Jesus. You can cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Devils will come out, not in your name. Luke 10:17. even the unclean spirits are subject to us in your name. So you can perform miracles, raise the dead, work wonders, and still be divinely disapproved. I bring my body under subjection, lest that after I have preached the gospel to others, I myself be divinely cast away. So God is not the respecter of any preacher. It doesn't matter how many people come to your church. You can own a whole city and a whole nation. God is not impressed with that. Heaven's definition of success is different from man's definition of success. So what we call success means nothing to God. And what man esteems, God despises. And what man despises, God esteems it. You know, this God is different. Oh, he sees things very differently. You can never go wrong with humility. You can never go wrong with humility. I'd rather be humble than be arrogant and proud and find out at the end that I was wrong. Amen? Okay, come with me please to Matthew 24 and 21. Matthew 24 and 21. Quickly.
For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
You see, this tribulation, you and I won't be there. And let me establish something, because there are two schools of thought. One school of thought claims that the church will see the tribulation and live in the mix of the tribulation. Another school of thought believes that we will be taken before the great tribulation. You know something? I don't care whether we will see the great tribulation and be taken within the great tribulation or we'll be taken before. What I care about is for us to be ready, have our name confirmed on the manifest, that whether it's before or in the mix of it, we don't miss the flight. Is anybody hearing me? Put your hands together and give God praise. Daniel 12 and 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1.
And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of the thy people.
Thy people, the children of thy people, referring to Israel.
And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book.
You see, your name must be in the book. Your name must be in the book. Anyone whose name is in the book shall be delivered. As we go ahead, you will see. Come with me to Revelation 13, 16 to 17.
And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
You see, this is what will happen after the rapture. Those who miss the rapture, you can't buy and sell. You can't confess the name of Jesus at that time, and you cannot repent. Now watch this. Anyone that lives after the rapture must have the mark of the beast to be able to buy or to be able to sell. And anyone that takes the mark of the beast, you renounce Jesus. You become a property of the beast, the devil, and you will not make heaven according to scripture. And the scriptures cannot be broken. Now, I'm not going to argue the scriptures with you. I know God is the God of love. So people say, but God is a good God. God is the God of love. Why? God understands. He doesn't understand why you should take the mark of the beast. Because that is compromise. And as we go ahead, we go along, you'll see. Now, those who refuse to take the mark of the beast will only make it by becoming martyrs for Jesus. You'll be beheaded. They will kill you. and it's going to happen. Now, I told you that 60 prophecies has been fulfilled. We are left with 14. One of the prophecies that is about to be fulfilled is the capital of Israel moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The next prophecy after that is the rebuilding of the temple. It's all coming to pass. You can argue it intellectually and subject scripture, you know, ladies and gentlemen, to logic or to philosophy. It doesn't bother me at all, because whether you believe it or not, what is written is written, and the scriptures cannot be broken, and the flowers faded and the grass withers, but the word of our God shall stand forever. If you believe it, put your hands together and give God praise. Revelation chapter 16. We are reading. On Wednesday we'll do the Bible studies. We are reading, so please go ahead. I have a few minutes to close. Revelation 16.
Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the
earth. This is the seven plagues. Is yet to be fulfilled. It's part of the 14th prophecy. The seven plagues that will hit the earth as soon as the church leaves and the Holy Ghost leaves. Seven plagues will hit the earth. See what will happen to those who don't make the rapture. Go ahead.
And so the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome soul came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image.
Who had the mark of the beast? That is not you and that is not me. There is a punishment and a judgment that will hit those who take the mark of the beast, because it's a compromise. They love their lives, and because they love their life, they choose to renounce Jesus, and they compromise their faith and conviction and accepted the mark of the beast that they might live. And as a result of that, judgment will hit there among the seven plagues that will come on the earth. Go ahead.
Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.
True and righteous are your judgments. You see, God will be justified. And one of the dangers here is, Christianity is the only religion or kingdom where the citizens of it don't care about their kingdom and their religion. They are very selfish. They care about themselves. When we talk about corruption, we're always attacking politicians and saying corruption. There is corruption in the church. And the spiritual corruption is when God blesses you for the benefit of the people and the church to advance the cause of his church and the gospel, and you withhold. One of the signs of the end time is the spirit of Ananias and Sapphira, where people shall hold back what is due God and his work and his house, and will lie and say they've given all to God. They spend what is given to them for the benefit of the church and the expansion of the gospel on themselves. People do their wills today and they don't leave anything behind for the church. And you say you are going to heaven and you are meeting Jesus and you love Jesus. Love is not what you say, but love is what you do. For God so loved that he gave. And Solomon loved the Lord and gave 1,000 burnt offering. And the Bible said, David said, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given over and above all that I've given before. And the Bible says, who is he that seeth his brother or his sister in need and shuts up the bowels of his compassion? Where dwelleth the love of God in you? So let's stop all these love words, love songs, and our actions don't show. All we care about is ourselves and our immediate family. God never intended to bless you and I for our immediate family. We are blessed for the sake of the church. Jesus is not building your family. He's not building your business. Neither is he building my business. He's building his church. He said, I build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The only interest God has in this world is his church, is you and I. When the church is taken, the seven plagues will hit the earth. The only thing that is holding back the seven plagues is you and I. So God number one interest in this earth and in the nations of our world, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care too much for any nation like I care about the church. Because that is God's number one priority, delight, and commitment, the church. When the church is out of here, the dispensation of grace is lifted, it expires, and it becomes the dispensation of judgment. The only thing holding back the wrath of God is you and I. When we leave this sin, and the reason why God is still waiting for you and I to wake up and put what he has given to us at the use of the church and stop all these excuses that the pastor, the archbishop, the bishop are going to chop your money. You don't have any money, for it is required of stewards to be faithful. If the pastor and the archbishop uses the money wrongly, it's between God and them. God will judge us. But you have no excuse to hold back what is required of you, so they'll be meat in the house, giving all kinds of excuses and allowing the spirit of Sapphira and Ananias to deceive you. Don't be fools. Stop all these games. Let's be straight with God. And it is better to obey God and to be in trouble with man than to obey man who dies, who lives today and dies tomorrow, and disobey God who lives forever. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sand, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Mm-hmm. And men were scorched with great heat. Mm-hmm. And they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent.
You know why they did not repent? Because the dispensation of grace had ended. The Holy Spirit had left. So there was no way. Even if they wanted to repent, they cannot repent. It's too late. You know what? That is very scary. When I read some of these scriptures, it scares me. I don't know what is in your heart, but I have a heart of flesh. It scares me. Go ahead.
And they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne.
The reason why repentance is critical is because repentance gives God glory. When we turn around and go to him and say, God, I've missed it. I never intended to offend or to hurt you. I never intended to take you for granted. Help me. I do right. I do well. And as I told you the other day, that is biologically proven that orgasm can only be maintained up to 10 seconds. Orgasm. So all your macho and all your workings and sister, all this time you spend at the saloon and all this makeup is 10 second pleasure. That's all. It's not worth it. Tell somebody it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Are you clapping? Come on, somebody. Are you clapping? Go ahead.
Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Uh-huh. And his kingdom became full of darkness. And
the beast, when you see the beast, that is Satan, the devil.
And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Mm-hmm. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains
Their pain, it would be sores, pains, torture, to the point where they have to curse God because they can't repent and the pain won't stop. The sores won't go away. And repentance is over. So all they will do is to curse God. Go ahead.
And did not repent of their deeds. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. And its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared.
That is the battle of Armageddon. And the river of Euphrates has to be dried up to make way for Russia and the kings of the east to come together against Israel before Revelation 19, where we come back. And you have to be among those who are coming back in Revelation 19. You must ride on those white horses. You can't miss that one. That is the real show. I look forward to it. I don't know about you. Any one of you looking forward to it, put your hands together and give God a praise and a shout. Go ahead.
And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon.
The dragon, Satan.
Mm-hmm. And out of the mouth of the beast. And
the
out
beast,
of,
Satan.
And out of the mouth of the false prophet.
Uh-huh.
For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to
you
the
kings. You have to be very, very careful of all these lying wonders and following churches and people because they are performing miracles. Hey, they said the guy, Oyin Konya, when he shakes his hand, and you run there and you don't know the spirit that is working. You don't know the spirit. You do not know the spirit behind a particular manifestation. People think that the church of Jesus is not growing like it should grow. It's transfer growth. People are not saving the lost anymore. We are targeting people in established Bible-believing churches and inviting them to our church. There are churches who literally work on their people. They call it all kinds of names and compare their people to go and bring believers from other churches. The population of Accra is over 4 million people. And only 500,000 goes to church on Sunday morning. And among the 500,000, we are not sure of how many are born again. So there is over 3 million people who don't go to church on Sunday morning. And we don't go out for them. We are looking for believers. And there are believers who have sat down. You sat down in this church. You've been fed, led you to Christ, fed you with the word of God, prayed for you, lay hands on you when you were sick. You recover. You get offended. So you leave a church like this and you have the audacity to carry somebody with you to another church. And you go to another church and you go and give to them what you never gave here. And you think you are building the kingdom. You are a worker of iniquity and you are destroying the kingdom. You cannot scatter what God is building and yet believe that Jesus is your Lord. You can't do that. Let's go ahead.
For there are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
You see, so these people, they are working against God. And why are they using the name of Jesus and getting results? Because in the realm of the spirit, the name of Jesus is a key. I can take your car key right now and go to the car park. And I can start your car. And your car will not resist me and say, you are not my owner, you are a thief. The car will follow the lead of the key. And I can take your car anywhere until I'm arrested. The name of Jesus is a key. For in the name of Jesus shall the knee of everything in heaven on earth bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you can cast out devils in the name of Jesus and not be born again. Today, sorcerers and diviners and magicians have become men of God and prophets. And they are using the name of Jesus to perform lying wonders. It's a matter of time. The master is coming. Put your hands together. The master is coming. It's just a matter of time. Somebody say it's a matter of time. Go ahead.
Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame.
Keeps his garment. Blessed is he that watches. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to help you to watch. Because if we don't sensitize the church, the way things are going and the flesh is becoming strong and Satan is on the loose. The Bible said, if it was possible, even the very elect shall be deceived, and therefore the days will be cut short, because deception will be on the highest order. Deception. Revelation chapter 17. We are reading. We are reading Revelation 17.
And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And her name, and on her forehead, her name was written, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has yet to come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings of the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful." Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth."
19. We are reading. Keep reading. Chapter 19. We'll break it down Wednesday at Bible studies. But I want you to read. We are not reading anymore. So we are just there and things are happening because we are not reading. We just take what the preacher said. The preacher said. But we have to begin to take what the scripture says. Go ahead.
"After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot with corruption, who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her.' Again they said, 'Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever.' And the 24 elders And the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen,
that is you and I,
white and clean, followed him on white horses.
Your horse is waiting for you. Tell somebody you have a white horse up there, you. Don't let anybody sit on that horse. Amen. Go ahead.
Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sand, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in the presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with a sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Then I saw an angel coming down
20,
from heaven.
From verse 1.
That I
19,
saw.
19 has to do with the second coming. When we do Bible studies, we'll break it down, okay? But 19 has to do with the second coming, not the rapture, second coming. Go ahead.
Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should receive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things,
remember that 1,000 years we will reign with him, and people will still be here for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, Satan will be released again, and he will come back to town, and will still fool people and deceive people, and people will still follow him. All that confirms the righteousness, the fairness, and the justice of God. Go ahead.
But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded.
Do you know who judgment will be committed to, you and I? And I showed you that part of the rewards in heaven is not just going to be crowns, but there will be thrones. And I also taught you that apart from crowns and thrones, we will reign over cities, and some will reign over nations. Some will reign over 5 cities, 10 cities, and nations. Go ahead.
Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus.
You see, these are the people who miss the rapture. They will be beheaded because they will now believe that everything we've been preaching is true. That is when they will believe. And I believe there are people here today who will only believe after the rapture. I'm just telling you. And that's why Jesus said it shall be like in the days of Noah and like in the days of Lot. That they were buying and they were selling. They were eating, they were drinking. They were building and giving in marriage and marrying, just like today, business as usual, until Noah entered the ark and then came the flood. And he said, it shall also be like in the days of Lot, business as usual, buying and selling like we are doing, building houses, nothing wrong with it. Go ahead and build. You need shelter over your head. Eating and drinking, giving into marriage and marrying. Yesterday we had a wedding here. Next week, there's always wedding going on. And it's all fulfilling scripture and what Jesus have said. And then he said, until Lot went out of the city, and then came fire and brimstone. So there are people who will not, there are believers who won't believe anything the scripture is saying. That's why I said we should read it. That's why I said let's read it. So it's not my interpretation. It's clear as it is written. Go ahead.
Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
So those who don't make it and take the mark of the beast will be killed, but they will be resurrected during the 1,000 years when we come before the second resurrection. Watch something. Go ahead.
But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished.
Those who died not in Christ and in their sins will still be kept in their graves. Watch when they will rise up. Go ahead.
This is the first resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Over such, the second death has no power.
Mm-hmm.
But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years have expired,
mm-hmm.
Satan will be released from his prison,
mm-hmm.
and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth,
mm-hmm.
Gog and Magog, mm-hmm. to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city,
Jerusalem.
And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Please stand on your feet.